Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
So you got a new firearm, and it doesn't quite work the way that you think it should. Can a gun be a lemon? We're going to look at that question and more on this episode. Hey, and welcome to another episode of The New Hunter's Guide, the podcast helping new hunters get started and helping active hunters learn new things. I'm your host, George Kanitas, and today we're going to be talking about the question, can a gun be a lemon? Well, it stands to reason that if anything could be a lemon, a car could be a lemon, a tool could be a lemon, something could come from the factory, not quite the way it's supposed to be, then of course a gun could be the same, right? It just stands to reason. But let's dig into this a little bit more. Oftentimes, people get a gun that they think is a lemon, and it's really not. It's a matter of user error, or just lack of knowledge, understanding, practice, or some other user-born thing that is not actually a defect in the machinery itself. So let me give some examples. Oftentimes, people get a rifle, and they've got a scope on it. Usually it may be, you know, these situations come from when if they've got a scope from the factory, they put some ammo in it, they go to shoot it a few times, and they just don't get good groups. They think, oh man, my gun's defective. Well, hold on. There's a lot more to it than that. Now, first of all, there's the shooter side. Are you a good shooter? We're going to talk more about that in a little bit later, but I'm just going to assume that you are, right? I'm going to assume you're a good shooter. I'm going to assume you have several similar firearms that you're a good shot with, and you can show us the groups to prove it, and we're just going to assume that. Okay, so then what else might be the issue? Well, the number one thing that's the simplest thing to fix is oftentimes guns will come from the factory with screws loose. The action screw might be loose. Screws on holding the scope on to the gun might be loose. Screws holding the scope bases onto the gun might be loose. There might be some loose screws that are causing significant accuracy issues in a rifle. Easiest way to check this, grab an Allen wrench or a screwdriver, whatever your firearm takes, and just go over all the screws and make sure they're snug. You don't need to torque them down so that they snap. They don't need to be super tight. They just need to be snug, particularly the action screw. The action screw is what holds the barrel and the chamber and the metal parts of the gun to the stock. You might have one, two, or three action screws. Whatever they are that holds the gun to the stock, make sure those are snug. Again, they don't have to be super duper tight, just firm and snug. So that's the number one thing you can do. Costs you nothing. Okay? Number two might be an issue with the scope. Oftentimes these guns that come from the factory with a scope already on them have a cheap Brand X scope, or they have a cheap version of a branded scope, and it's just a garbage scope. That's just what it is. It's just junk, and you adjust it three clicks, and sometimes it moves five clicks worth of adjustment. Sometimes it moves one click worth of adjustment. Sometimes it doesn't move at all. Sometimes I've had the internal crosshairs would just move inside the scope as you move the scope around. You know, there could just be junk. It could just could be a scope defect. So that's one thing. Now, I mentioned tightening screws. A lot of people don't do enough diligence to make sure that the scope base is tight against the gun and the scope rings are tight against the scope base and that the scope is tight inside the scope rings. You want to make sure all of that's tight. No wiggle, no wobble, no won't spin, rotate, jiggle, nothing. Make sure those are all tightened down well. Maybe you want to use a little blue Loctite, the kind that's not permanent, to make sure those screws don't come loose. Especially if you're dealing with a higher caliber rifle, but that's something to look at. Another thing to look at could be the ammo. So, just last week after, you know, a week before I recorded this, my brother-in-law and I went out to the range and he got a new rifle. It was a nice Mossberg Patriot 30-06 camo rifle with a scope on it from the factory. Got it at Walmart for a ridiculously low price. He got it so cheap, he was actually concerned if it was a real gun. If it really was what it said it was, or if they make some kind of super cheap version that they sell at Walmart just to get the prices down. He really was not, and of course, that's not the gun he wanted to buy, but with the State of the Union and the universe this year when it comes to buying firearms, that was the closest thing he could find on the shelf anywhere to what he really wanted, so we got that. So we went out to the range, and we tried a bunch of different ammunitions in it. Now, the first ammunition we tried, it really didn't shoot too good. I mean, we're talking like 3-4-inch groups at 50 yards. Not 100 yards, at 50 yards. We did our second ammunition that we tested. There's 2 or 3 inch groups at 50 yards. We did another ammunition, 3 or 4 inch groups. Another ammunition, 3 or 4 inch groups. We're trying different bullet weights and different brands. We tried 150 grain, 165 grain, 180 grain, and then a couple different brands in there. And by the end of box number 3 or 4, now we didn't shoot the whole box, but by the end of testing the fourth kind of ammunition, we were like, well, you know, it's good enough for deer hunting, but yeah, you know, maybe there is something to this, you know, Walmart rifles might not be the real thing kind of deal. But then we tried ammo number 5. Thank God he bought 5 different boxes of ammo. And ammo box number 5 was 180 grain bullet. We had already tested 180 grain bullets, 2 of them, I think. This was the third one. It was a different brand, and it was cheaper than some of the other ones that we tested. Well, I took 3 shots with this one, and then all 3 holes were touching each other at 50 yards. And I put the gun down. I said, winner, winner, chicken dinner. We have figured this thing out. So we shot a few more groups with that ammo just to make sure that it was, you know, wasn't just a lucky group. And it was excellent. So we dialed the scope into that particular ammo. And that thing, I mean, it's like a laser beam. It is absolutely phenomenal. Now, we could have concluded after box of ammo number 4 that the gun was a lemon or that it was just subpar. But after box of ammo number 5, we had discovered the truth, and that is that it just was a picky gun. It just didn't like all ammos. And we even tested multiple 180 grain bullets, and it was the last one that we tried, and that one was phenomenal. That brand, primer, powder, bullet, everything combination was excellent. Now, a lot of people don't get to box of ammo number 5 to find something that their gun likes. Some guns like just about everything. Some guns like half of what you shoot down it. Some guns are really picky. But you find what your gun likes, and then you just buy that, and it doesn't matter. So we did that, and that gun was excellent. It was light. It was cheap. Granted, the scope wasn't super good. But if you can shoot, you know, the holes touching each other at 50 yards, then, you know, the scope is good enough. And for what he paid for it, I was like, you know what? You know, a lot of people pay more than that for just the rifle. So, you know, you lost nothing. The scope works. It'll get you through deer season. And you can always go out and get a better scope if you want to. Or maybe not. Maybe this is good enough for a deer rifle. But either way, that gun was on. Trigger was good. Everything about it was good. We just had to find the right ammo. But a lot of people will get to that point and conclude, gun's a lemon. So, you know, things, similar kind of things happen with other kind of guns, but oftentimes it is not the firearm, it is some other factor. Now, not everybody's as great of a shot as they think they are either, but that's, we're going to get into that later. You know, some people buy a pistol and they throw a certain whatever ammo into it and it jams three times in the first magazine and they conclude, oh, this gun's a lemon. Well, it could be a lemon. It could also be that it doesn't like that ammo. It could also be that you didn't clean the gun or the magazine and there's just a bunch of grit in there and protectant from the factory, which is not the same as gun oil. It's protectant to keep the parts from corroding in shipping and sales. And you need to clean the gun before you shoot it to expect it to cycle right. And then, you know, some handguns, they don't like certain brands of ammo. They don't like certain bullet weights. It could very easily be any number of factors that you just have to learn that gun and try some different things. Make sure it cleans. A lot of people, when they shoot a handgun and they're not experienced, they don't hold the gun firm enough. And they get what they call limp wrist, which is basically your wrist is too loose. When the gun shoots, your wrist moves and absorbs the recoil. Your hand's not firm on the gun. And there's actually, the recoil goes into your hand and into your wrist. And there's not enough recoil focused into the firearm to actually cause the slide to come back far enough to actually cycle it. Because that firearm has to push back against something. So the slide has the energy to push back and you hold that slide in place while it goes back, ejects the round, loads another one, and pushes it forward. If you're limp-wristed, then the recoil goes into your arm and into your hand and into your wrist, and then it may not cycle. It'll jam. All kind of things can happen. And you can change that literally just by how you hold the gun. But you could conclude it's a lemon. You know, same kind of thing with shotguns. I will say shotguns seem to be more lemon-proof or more user error-proof. Let's put it that way, more user error proof than maybe a rifle or a handgun, because you're not worried about super accuracy. You know, now if you have an automatic shotgun, you could have situations where the gun doesn't cycle, and that could be because...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
You're not holding it right. You're moving too much with the shots, just like with the handgun. There's not enough momentum going back, especially on target loads. Could be the gun's not set up right for the ammo you're using. Some shotguns have adjustments in the inner workings for heavy ammo or light ammo. It could be, again, you didn't clean it right, or you've got too much oil in it. You know, too much oil in any gun can cause gunk to build up, and then you lose power from the shot to work the action to friction with the gunk, and there maybe not be quite enough force to cycle it. Or you could have, you know, there's some other things that can happen as well. You could have a clog in the gas system. You could have, you know, there could be an issue with the ammo that you're using. Shotguns tend to not be as picky as rifles or handguns, but it can happen. So you just need to explore some of these things. Usually these are the answer. I'd say out of, you know, guns, or times people think a gun's a lemon, probably 1 in 5, there's actually something wrong with the gun. And the other 4 times, people haven't figured out how to use it right, or they're making some kind of error. Now, another factor to address here is firearm break-in procedures. Now, I did an entire episode on this topic. You can go back and find it. I titled it something along the lines of how do you break in a firearm, or something like that. Search back. You can find it. You will not find too many presentations quite like this one. But people will say, well, you know, you just have to break that gun in. You got to shoot that handgun 500 times before it'll psycho right. Or you need to, you know, you need to fire a bullet and clean it, and fire a bullet and clean it, and fire 2 bullets and clean it, and, you know, spend 7 hours doing that before you can expect that gun to be accurate. And the bottom line is, for the most part, that's all rubbish. For the most part, that is all rubbish. You buy a firearm, you buy a handgun from the factory, there's 2 things you need to do to break that handgun in. 1, clean it. 2, put ammo in it and go to the range and have fun. That's it. That's all you need to do. If you clean that firearm and you put ammo in it, it should shoot. It should work. It should work right from the beginning. Now, you may have to work on your form. You may have to find the right ammo. But in terms of breaking in the firearm, there should be no loss of function whatsoever. If a gun doesn't work after 400 rounds, what happens at 401 that magically changes it? No, that's not a real thing. That is something that has been propagated by outdoor writers and long-range shooters and people trying to mystify things that are not mystified. You need to just put all that out of your mind. A gun should work out of the box, assuming everything else that we talked about is in check. The screws are tight. You're using it right. You've got a right kind of ammo. You're holding it right. All those things. The gun itself should not need any special procedure or work or maintenance in order to work right. If they did, the firearms companies would be idiots selling them in that state where they don't work until you use them 100 times or spend 7 hours cleaning them, because then they would have disasters, failures, none of the guns would ever be accurate, and they would have massive customer service issues. In the episode that I did on this subject, I actually told you that I contacted several of the largest firearms manufacturers in the nation, some of the largest in the world, and I asked them point blank, what's your break-in procedure? What do I need to do to break in your firearms? And everyone that responded to me before I did that episode told me, we have no break-in procedure. Our gun should work out of the box. These are the manufacturers of some of the largest rifle, handgun, and shotgun manufacturers on planet Earth. But no one's publishing that because it's unpopular. Because there's this gun break-in culture that's really only a couple decades old, and it's based on nothing. You will find no scientific evidence anywhere of a gun that was more accurate after break-in, or more reliable, or more anything, or that there is even anything occurring during the break-in procedure. You know, it's just a bunch of junk. You know, a rifle does not need broken in. You do not need to shoot one bullet and clean it, and shoot one bullet and clean it, and do that 10 times, 20 times, whatever number of times. In fact, the rifle I was telling you about that we went to the range just last week, I did not even allow it to enter into the conversation about any kind of break-in shenanigans. We just started shooting it. And like I told you, we went through 4 different ammos that didn't work well, and we found ammo number 5 was like a laser beam. And the gun shot well, and it worked well, and had no issues, and still has no issues, and there is no... blah. That's another subject. That's a whole episode. I already did it. You can go listen to it. But we're going to move on. You should not have to break in a firearm for it to work right. You may have to do all the other things we've talked about so far, but you shouldn't have to break it in. So can a gun actually be a lemon? Let's talk about real lemons, guns that have been lemons. Now, I personally have had a gun that was a lemon. And I went out, I wanted to get a new 308 for deer hunting. I've done my research, I've looked at it, I've pondered it, I examined it, I found the one I wanted, I bought it, I took it. As soon as I opened it up out of the box, I was unhappy with it. From the first time I touched it, I was unhappy with it. The gun was never right. It was just never, even when I looked at it, at the where I bought it, I wasn't quite thrilled. You know, but I ordered it online and it got shipped to the place and, you know, I had no reason to say, no, I'm not going to buy it, send it back. And I didn't like it. I can't tell you. I can't tell you some of the reasons. So the stock felt cheap, but I thought, who cares? If it shoots the way it's supposed to, it should work. But it wasn't just cheap. It felt like it was off. And I started looking at it real close. And sure enough, the front stock for the where your forehand goes in the front leading up the barrel, it curved and bent around to the right ever so slightly. I was like, oh, that's weird. And the barrel was not quite free-floated. Like, it wasn't touching the stock normally, but it just wasn't right. So I worked the bolt. You know, I didn't love the way the bolt felt. It just didn't do it for me. You know, I just held it. The gun just didn't, I don't know. But I was like, hey, whatever. If it works, I'll grow into it. So I took it to the range. This gun couldn't shoot for nothing. I was getting 5 and 6 inch groups. At 50 yards, 5 and 6 inch groups. Now, people told me, well, you just don't know how to shoot. And I was like, you know, I think I do know how to shoot. I mean, I've got a 223 and a 22 that I can pull 3/4 inch groups with regularly, fairly consistently. You know, I'm doing the same things there. And they said, well, no, you don't know how to shoot a 30 caliber rifle. I'm like, well, I've got a 308 and a 7.62 54. And, you know, I can shoot those well enough. And they said, nah, you don't really know what you're doing. You got to adjust your technique. You got to hold it differently. You got to pull it tighter into your shoulder than guns with less recoil. You've got to do this and you got to do that. So I was like, okay, well, I did all those things and I practiced and I worked at it and I got, I don't know, the accuracy got 5% better. Like, well, you don't have a stable shooting platform. You need to get a lead sled or you need to get one of those, what's it called? I've got one right here. I'm looking at it. One of those Caldwell tack driver bags, the ones that open at the top and you can wedge the firearm down into and it'll hold it just like, if not better than a lead sled, and you can put another bag under the rear. So I went and bought one of those and not really much improvement at all. So they said, well, you haven't found the ammo that the gun likes. I was like, okay. So I went and got 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different kinds of ammo, different brands, different bullet weights, different everything. Some did a little better than others, but none of them, with not one, does it satisfactory. Beyond that, the scope was just, it had issues, right? There were specks of stuff on the glass in the scope. The crosshair seemed to move inside the scope. People said, well, you just haven't tightened the scope enough and all that. Well, I tightened it all. I did all the tightening. I put the Loctite on it. I did everything I've told you about in this video you should do, or excuse me, video in this podcast that you should do. So I did all that stuff. And it's still not really any improvement. I'm trying to figure out. Now, that wasn't it. Like, the bolt didn't work right all the time. Like, you'd pull it back, it wouldn't always strip around. It wasn't super consistent. It worked like 80% of the time. The magazine didn't seat right. It just didn't go in right. It wasn't reliable. It wouldn't clip right all the time. It wouldn't sit, you know, perfectly flush all the time. It felt like a plastic piece of garbage. I mean, everything about this rifle was just wrong. Nothing worked the way it was supposed to work. And you know, eventually I got to the point where I just spent all this money in ammo and accessories and testing. And I was like, okay, even if the gun was accurate, the scope has spots and fleckles and stuff in it. And the magazine doesn't work and the bolt doesn't work. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to contact the manufacturer. I'm going to send this thing back. You know, I don't know what the deal is. So I boxed it up. I took it to FedEx and I shipped it back to the manufacturer. And, you know, I told them, I said, look, I wrote a letter and I detailed every issue the gun had. And I said, okay, you guys don't even make this one anymore. It's not even on your website anymore. Must have been last year's model that I got on closeout, which is why the price was so good, which, you know, all made perfect sense. So I said, all right, I want this other one instead. It's a little bit more. I'll pay the difference. Just don't send this back to me. I don't want this gun back. I'm through with it. Everything about this gun is wrong. So to their credit, they called me after they got the gun, said, hey, got your gun, got your letter. You want this gun? All right, we'll ship that one to you. And just like that, super easy. Well, I mean, they couldn't ship it to me. They had to ship it to an FFL dealer. You know, I had to go pick it up. But, you know, to their credit, they, I mean, they did not ask one question. They did not push back at all. They said, you know, sorry about that. Well, you know, whatever you want, we'll do that for you. So they sent me another one, got that one. That gun was right. Soon as you touched it, you knew this thing is right. This thing works. This thing feels good in your hands. It's straight. It's true. Put a scope on it. Took it out to the range. Found an ammo or two that it liked. And that's been my deer hunting gun ever since. Pretty happy with it. But had a lemon. Now, I'm not going to... I was thinking about telling you the brand and model and make. But you know what? I've got several other guns from that same brand. And all of them are excellent. And I thought, nah, I don't want to... Because any brand can have a lemon. Anybody can do, it can happen from anyone. And they did exactly what they should do. They replaced it. I actually ended up with a better firearm in the end than the one I initially bought. More features, better stuff. You know, it was a better model. They were very gracious and didn't give me any hard time about it whatsoever. So, you know, and that's exactly what a firearm company should do. You have a gun with real problems. They should replace it, no questions asked, or make it right. Fix it, whatever the case may be. And I've known a couple people over the years that have had similar problems. Not the problems that I have, but similar types of issues with a gun. They've sent it back and either replaced or repaired every time. Most of the firearms companies are excellent about stuff like that. So, you know, yes, a gun can be a lemon, but more often than not, people think that they have a lemon. It's, they just haven't figured it all out yet. They haven't done everything that they're supposed to do or need to do, or their forms are off, or their shooting's not good. I will say my shooting did improve through this entire experience because I shot a lot and then I was working so diligently on my form to figure out what am I doing wrong. You know, and the answer at the end of the day was I wasn't doing that much wrong. Of course, there's always room for improvement, and I improved a little bit, which helped me overall. Of course, I would have rather not go through the shenanigans, but, you know, that's just part of the game, right? You work at it, you improve, you get better. So, you know, these are all the things that go into it. So, yep, gun could be a lemon. What do you do about it if it really is a lemon? Contact the manufacturer, send it back. Now, you know, here's a side note, right? I'm just going to go right into this, you know, just because I know the world we live in. So I bought that lemon gun from galleryofguns.com, Davidson's, right? You've probably heard about them. They're everywhere. They are one of the biggest advertisers of guns on planet Earth online. You order it, comes to whatever dealer you want. I've bought things from them before, liked them, happy with them. It's worked well for me. Prices have been good. They have a lifetime guarantee. Lifetime guarantee. any gun from them has any issue, you take it back to wherever you did the transaction, and they will ship it back to Davidson's, and they'll either repair it or replace it, or if that model's not existing anymore, they'll give you something comparable. So I pondered when I got this lemon doing that. I pondered taking, following up with them on the lifetime guarantee. But then I thought, you know what? Here's the gun that I got. I don't want another one, right? I don't want another one of that. I was just over it. I was like, you know what? What if the next one, the stock sucks and whatever else? I was just over it. I didn't want to go back to Davidson's and get another one. I didn't want them to repair it because I hated everything about the gun. Everything seemed wrong and broken, and I knew they would never fix everything. They just not the way that it works. So I didn't want them to just ship me another one and risk it having any of the same issues. So that's why I went to the manufacturer. I thought, you know what? Now, they didn't have that one anymore, as because that was last year's model. Of course, Davidson still had 100 of them in stock on sale, however all that went. But I went to the manufacturer because, one, it's their gun. They warranty it. I'm the original owner. And I knew that, I could work with them to get a different gun. Whereas Davidson's would have just sent me another one of the same model. I wanted a different one because I didn't want to have any of that risk again. So I got a different version of that gun. And that worked out. But I had two options, right? That gun was double warrantied. It was warrantied by Davidson's, the place I bought it from, and it was warrantied by the manufacturer. And, there's a lot of guns that I've bought over the years that have had that. There's one gun shop local that I really like to shop at. They warranty all their guns for life. Any gun you buy from them, if it ever breaks, you take it back and they will figure it out, fix it, make it right, whatever needs to happen. Excellent people. But be aware of these things whenever you buy a gun, especially a new gun. And if you're buying a used gun, buy it from somewhere that warranties their guns. Like that local gun shop that I go to. They warranty anything you buy from them. So that's something to keep in mind. Now, even if you buy a used gun, you can still go back to the manufacturer for manufacturer defects. If it's truly a lemon and it was wrong from the manufacturer, you can still go back to that manufacturer with it and say, hey, this is yours. You made it. It's defective. And most of the time, even if you're not the original owner and purchaser, they'll still work with you. They'll still fix it. They'll make it right. So can a gun be a lemon? Sure. Should you default to assuming it's a lemon? No, you should put it through its paces first. You should question yourself. You should question your ammo. You should go through all those different things. But if it really is a lemon, people have been heartbroken. Like, the gun's not what I thought. It's wrong. It's messed up. The bolt doesn't close. Whatever these issues are. And they get all worked up about it. Don't feel sad or upset or disgruntled for a minute. Contact the manufacturer. Send it back to them. It is not hard to ship a gun. You go to FedEx. They'll do it. Usually it's like $25 plus insurance. I would insure it most of the time. I think it's a good idea. But if the gun's defective and broken, maybe it doesn't matter so much. Maybe you don't need the extra money spent for the insurance. So you send it back to the manufacturer, and almost every time, if it really is an issue with the gun, they're going to make it right, usually charge you nothing for it, and ship it back to you at no cost. So I hope this episode's been helpful for you guys. Head to the website, newhuntersguide.com. Check out the show notes for this episode. And I want to encourage you, share this podcast. Leave us some reviews on iTunes. That really helps get the word out. There's few things you can do more to help this podcast reach more people than to leave a 5-star review with a comment on iTunes and, of course, share it. So appreciate you guys. God bless you, and go get them in the woods.